Monday, November 17th, 2014. I'm calling to order the council meeting for the Borough of Edgewood. Ms. Bastianini, you will call the roll, please.
Mr. Bray.
Here.
Dr. Wallace.
Here.
Mr. Wainwright.
Here.
Mr. Wilson. Dr. Petrola.
Here.
Mr. Fuller.
Here.
Ms. Schaefer.
Here, and let the record reflect that the solicitor is here. The mayor will be on his way, but regardless, he is within the borough for if we need him. Let us all stand. Please recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, we'll entertain items from the floor. If you want to come to the podium, I know you signed in. Just say who you are and where you're from.
Good evening. My name is Bill Conway, and I'm from Bloomfield. I'd like to thank Council for the opportunity to bring a matter from the floor. On October 20th, 2010, my godson's life was taken in front of the library here in Edgewood. He was 19 years old. An Amtrak train hit him from behind. He was headed to the gym over in Swissville. And the reason I come here tonight is because several months later, on June 6th of 2011, Councilman Bright brought the concern of residents along Lincoln Avenue that there is much access to the railroad tracks from the library. No barriers exist. And there was a request that a letter be sent to Norfolk Southern to press the matter. My godson was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But if you've ever stood in front of the library and had an Amtrak locomotive come by, it's breathtaking. I'd like to introduce the parents of young Joey, who's gone. They'd like to use some of the minutes we have.
I know we don't have much time. My name is Joe. I was Joey's father, and this is his mother, Tisha, and that's my significant other, Sheila. We're not here to place blame or do anything like that. What we would like to do, and it's been 4 years since this terrible accident, we would like to prevent this from happening to anybody else, especially at that spot. We have vigils there, and it's so open. And again, as my cousin stated, when the train goes by, I didn't even want to go there. And when I went there, I didn't hear the train coming when it came. It's very truthful what he said. All we would like to do is perhaps maybe petition people and maybe see if we can get Amtrak or Norfolk Southern to either, if you can't afford a fence, put up a sign, something. I mean, some deterrent is better than no deterrent, and if I just didn't want my son's life to be in vain like that, I would like to not see this happen to anybody else's child or any other parent. And you know, I'm not real sure exactly how to do this, but I'm open for anything. I'd be willing to, you know, go door to door and see if people would like that done or what have you, but I'm open for suggestions. I just hope I can get your support. Thank you very much.
Mr. Barry, I know this kind of caught you off guard, but we have tried to work with Norfolk Southern before, and maybe you can update council on their receptiveness.
For me to say that they're not very responsive to things wouldn't necessarily help things along. It's up to council. I'm not sure what you want me to say, but my experience with the railroad is that it's very difficult to get them to do anything. That's not to say they wouldn't do anything in this particular case.
So, would it perhaps be more strength if the family of young Joe would write a letter to them? Or if we wrote a letter as a municipality of concern, and lent support to anything that they might do.
I'm not familiar with the area in question, and you know, if in fact the railroad more likely would feel hesitant to do anything about it because of potential liability for the death of this young man or other problems. So I don't see any reason why the family cannot write a letter. If Borough Council wants to write a letter, that's fine too. I'm trying to be honest about it and say that the railroad is probably going to say that whatever they did was okay.
And understood. You know, I guess, you know, piggybacking on to what Mr. Bright said previously, would I be able to pen a letter to Norfolk and Southern on behalf of counsel explaining about the family coming forward and requesting that Norfolk and Southern consider some kind of barrier be placed in an area that is more open and just place that request as president of council on behalf of council?
Yes, that would be fine.
Okay.
There's an area at least 100 feet long where the railroad is right at the street level. Yes. Just like walking across the border. And I don't know who planted that cedar edge. That was a partial barrier for a while.
So I would recommend a couple things. So one is to know where that boundary is from our streets. I'm assuming it's probably 4 or 5 feet. And that's why we could plant, or somebody planted those trees. And then the other is, there is a fence. There's some precedent set. Because the old stairwell coming out of the tunnels are fenced off. And there's a fence along the top of that. So at some point in our history, there was a fence erected partially.
Yeah, there had been a fence along there when I first moved to Edgewood. The wire fence had half rusted away, but there were remnants of it. But it disappeared. But it's interesting, there are fences along Edgewood Town Center. Station was, but in the middle there's a gap where there's nothing.
So we could, if council, we could write a letter requesting that fencing be placed up there, continuing from to fill in the gap from where the fence is from Penwood Avenue. All towards Edgewood Town Center.
100 yards.
Yeah. And with your permission, just let them know that you were here.
Wonderful.
And it's on behalf of the residents of Edgewood, and also the family, that they. The fencing that had been there years and years ago, but really it should,
That would be a wonderful humanitarian effort. Legally, if you step a foot on Norfolk Southern property, you're a trespasser.
Right.
They have no duty to you. Yeah. And unfortunately, in the real world, you've got a span there of open space where you shouldn't have to be a trespasser.
I will pen a letter this week Gary read it over so that, you know, it sounds good. And but it will be heartfelt.
And will I be able to call you and find out in a month or two how?
You most definitely
awesome.
Can.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Yes.
Thanks
for your time, all of you.
And we are sorry for your loss.
Actually, the cost of a fence there would be pretty small.
Yeah, it's just good.
And I'm assuming that, you know, there's the cedars that were there, they spray for weeds along the tracks, and it's very easy, and I'm sure that's what happened.
I wonder if the garden club planted those. I just don't know where they came from, but that was there for years. Where they They did help. I think they died during a drought.
Well, I was trying to find whether there was a, I mean, I was almost certain there wasn't, or isn't, an obligation of the railway to do anything, because they have, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles of railway in this railroad in this country. But it does beg the discussion of why do they put in, because it's at their expense, crossing gates. Because it's a safety issue, obviously.
Right, right.
So this would fall similar to that, I think. It's a very, in fact, I never really understood that section until the my kids started participating in the Halloween walk, the parade, which starts right there. So we put 200 kids at least right there. So that was a little scary whenever, you know, kids are running around the trucks and, you know, they're shook, hyped up on sugar.
The library, just going to the library. Right.
And it is such an easy access. And it's doubly dangerous because there's no exit without a fence. So you get onto that railway there, or railroad, and it's not easy to get off at any other point.
Well, it just depends on how tall the fence is. You have a fence that's, you know, 5 foot or, you know, 4.5 feet that someone could climb over, but it would be a deterrent for small children. I mean, people who, and we see them all the time crossing the busway and, you know, whatever.
You have to make it.
But if there was a deterrent,
particularly for children. Even 4 feet would be, if you climb a fence and go into private property, even if it's 4 feet, then you assume.
Right, right.
You know, the liability.
But this would be a deterrent for children, you know, who are maybe too small to realize what the risk is. And
I mean, it makes. And there, it's not just that family. Since I've lived here in 99, I know of at least 3 deaths on that rail. They all don't enter at that point, I don't think. I know that at least one of them was walking back from Swissvale, Braddock Avenue. They got on there and were walking back to Wilkinsburg. So.
Yeah, well, there is a lot of foot traffic from Wilkinsburg to Swissvale. They just walk right along the tracks. And they don't also climb those cycle fences.
Well, and once again, you know, you can't, you know, people make bad decisions all the time, but in this case, with the proximity of where it is, and the library, and the, you know, the pool, and all those other things, I think, you know, I'll write a letter of request, and have Mr. Barry take a look at it. And
it's not an access point, is it? I've never seen it.
No, but actually, somebody has to be pretty athletic to climb those cycle fences.
Yeah. Thank you all. Does anyone have any corrections to the minutes of October 20th, 2014?
I move to approve the minutes of October 20th, 2014.
Second.
Questions or comments? Ms. Bassini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bray?
Aye.
Dr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright?
Aye.
Dr. Petrola?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye, and the motion passes. Any corrections for the minutes of November 3rd?
I move to approve the minutes of November 3rd, 2014.
Second.
Questions or comments? Ms. Bonnie, you can call
the roll. Mr. Bright?
Aye.
Dr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright?
Aye.
Dr. Petrola?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye, and the motion passes. Motion to authorize payment of bills for goods and services. Mr. Wainwright?
I move to authorize the payment of bills for goods and services received by the borough, having been reviewed and approved by the General Government Committee, from the General Fund in the amount of $42,804.62, and from the Sewer Fund in the amount of $362.43, for a total of $43,167.05.
Questions or comments, Mr. Wainwright?
No major huge checks this time around. Some check reissues from the old Citizens Bank account. Some money spent to take down the McKay Street garage, and just otherwise just general expenses, routine kind of stuff. And that's it.
All right, Ms. Bastianini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye, and the motion passes. Committee report, General Government, Mr. Wainwright.
I have no further report other than what I just gave.
Other than to report that we did have a budget workshop on Saturday. It was well run, thanks to the borough's administration and General Government Committee for your oversight on the production of the budget. And unprecedented. Police report, Mayor Cook is not here. Public safety, Mr. Fuller.
Public safety did not meet.
And you all received the police report in your packets for October. Community development, Dr. Wallace.
Community development did not meet, other than the committee of the whole, but Barry, what is the latest update on the timeline with McDonald's request? Is it the end of this month?
Julie and I just signed off on it today. I believe it's in early December.
Okay. So our plan is to meet after that, and we plan or come up with a different plan for Parcel D. I have actually been in discussions with a few entities, so hopefully it won't be as drawn out as the last time. But, so once we have a final decision from McDonald's, then we'll move forward. So other than that, nothing.
Thank you. Public Works did not meet. Community Service, Dr. Petrola.
We did not meet.
Personnel, Mr. Fuller?
Personnel did not meet.
Pension, Mr. Bright?
Pension did not meet. We are working on a meeting, but just set up yet.
Okay. Once the budget is passed, a budget is passed, Dr. Petrola, we probably should have a Public Works Committee meeting roads program for 2015.
Get an earlier jump on that.
Yeah. I've asked Dr. Petrola to fill in for as chair of Public Works. Mr. Wilson is convalescent. Ad hoc, Three Rivers, which is not anything. Connect, Ms. Bastianini.
Connect executive session will meet this Thursday.
We are working Three Rivers and Connect. Are working regarding the transfer of trunk lines, an opportunity to transfer trunk lines to Al Casino, and what that will mean. I think the finished, the last meeting, I think, is either in January or December regarding that, and we're hopeful that Pittsburgh City Council and Mayor Peduto will read the governance report that was presented to them regarding the board of makeup of the board of Alcosan to have multi-municipal representation, so that we have people on the board who will be able to speak for concerns of all 83 municipalities, not just the county and the city. For a solicitor's report, Mr. Berry.
Madam President, thank you. I would like to speak to Borough Council in executive session for a brief moment this evening about potential litigation.
Okay. May there be action?
There will not be any action. It'll be a very brief one.
Okay, thank you. Borough Manager's report, Ms. Bastianini.
Thank you, Madam President. We had some good news last week. We were approached by a Boy Scout to be the recipient of a Eagle Scout project, and he is interested in doing some educational and outreach work on storm sewer issues for the borough. So he will be placing the stenciling on the storm sewer outlets, reminding people that they drain to drinking water and to not illegally dump in the storm sewers. He's also interested in hanging some information on people's doorknobs to remind them about being careful where you wash your car and where the soap drains to. So at some point he will come to council to discuss it with you, but I thought this was a really good use of an Eagle Scout project and was encouraged by that. Also,
so the stencils that she's talking about were ones that we received in the grant through Rivers Wet Weather. It's not like paint on stencils.
Right.
These are cemented on little fish stickers or whatever. So.
Also concerning stormwater, I just wanted to bring council up to date on a couple of meetings that have taken place between Three Rivers Wet Weather, the communities in the Nine Mile Run Watershed Association, or Nine Mile Run, and the Nine Mile Run Watershed Association. Other watersheds in Allegheny County, specifically counties in stormsheds in the northern region, so Gertie's Run and Pine Creek, have had some independent water quality testing done on the creeks that resulted in a order from the DEP to clean up some pollutants in those streams. The municipalities didn't have any part in the water monitoring process and disagreed with the way that the monitoring was conducted and the result of the conducting, and it resulted in some litigation to try to then reverse the decision of DEP based on these independent studies. So Three Rivers Wet Weather is trying to get out ahead of the curve in other municipalities and watersheds so that this doesn't happen to other groups. So they had a meeting last week between, as I said, Nine Mile Run communities, Nine Mile Run Watershed Association, and Three Rivers Wet Weather to get us all on board to try to create a proposal for water quality monitoring in Nine Mile Run. So that way we would be part of the process, so we would know where they were taking the samples, where what was being tested for, and we would be aware from the get-go of what the results would be, rather than it being handed down to the community saying, hey, you've got to comply with this later. So nothing has started. It's in the initial phases. I just wanted to bring this up to council to see if anybody had a major concern about that that process or moving forward. It would also mean that the costs for the monitoring were spread out amongst the municipalities and the Nine Mile Run Watershed Association, who has volunteered to do the monitoring. The DEP regulations, they're called Total Maximum Daily Loads, TMDLs, they're going to be coming down anyway. This would put the municipalities sort of more in control of it, so that we would say, hey, we know that our, but our sulfur levels are high.
Yeah, it depends on what they test for. They probably do PODs, maybe CODs. POD is biological oxygen demand. COD is chemical oxygen demand. They may do E. coli. It's
right. So this is sort of determining so that everybody would have a say, including our engineers, in what is tested for, rather than in Gertie's Run, there's real concerns about the legitimacy of the testing, that now the municipalities are under a DEP consent to clean up when they don't think that there was a problem to begin with. So this is a long process. It's just the beginning stages. We had one meeting with Three Rivers Wet Weather thus far, and I just wanted to bring council up to date on that process.
So not only what they're testing for, I think it's equally important, and George, you can speak to this, and where they test. It should be more than one point in Nine Mile. And we have some vulnerable areas of Nine Mile. One is where it crosses Commercial, the old concrete sewer line is at the same level as the water, that level at that point. And then you have the entire old shale dump runoff, which is lower. So I think if you get multiple testing points in that, then you can, if there is a liability issue, I would want to know.
And part of it is, I believe right now there will be four or five different points in that map that they will be testing. But also it's to make sure they track it back. If it tests high for something, you know, walk up the stream. Is there a dead raccoon laying in the stream that might have caused that measure to skyrocket? So it's this will happen. We will have to meet these TMDLs at some point. There's going to be no avoiding that. It's just this will sort of get us in the conversation earlier. So it's in the beginning stages. We have not committed ourselves to anything yet. We're just discussing it.
Might there be some grant money?
That's what we're hoping, yes. Hoping that there's some money that working together with the Watershed Association and the other communities will make this an appealing prospect for funders. It rained today, so that delayed leaf collection. The Public Works crew will be out just as soon as the rain stops. The Allegheny County Planning Division gave us a review of the zoning update. Today we received about 7 pages worth of comments from them. So we will be reviewing that with our consultant, and the Planning Commission is meeting next week to discuss those comments, incorporate the ones that they believe are relevant, and make a recommendation for Council's next meeting. A couple of things that were brought up at the budget meeting that we might want to talk about, changing the street sweeping time. It was suggested at the budget workshop that street sweeping be changed to begin at 9 a.m. instead of 8 a.m. because more residents would have left for the day and be off the street at 9 a.m. I discussed this with Public Works and the two employees who drive the street sweeper, and they were a little concerned about getting their route completed if we started at 9. They said it should be fine in the summer, but in the spring and the fall when the streets are, when there's more debris on the streets, they were worried that they wouldn't get the route completed. They suggested 8:30 as a start time. I think that would still get more people off the road.
Yeah. Because most people are in their cars going to work so that they're there by 9. So.
Right.
Whatever's reasonable.
This may be completely irrelevant, but do all the street signs say 8?
Yes, so that was my other
comment. Tell the
comment.
Police not to start ticketing to 8.
The other comment, we priced it today about the biggest expense with this is going to be changing the signs, because all the signs, half the signs in the borough, the ones in the morning, say 8 to 11, no parking. We can get a little sticker to just replace the bottom line of that sign, so everything else will stay the same. It'll cost probably about $4 a sign, and we probably have about 200 of them to do. So that's the expense associated with it. I think it might help some of our residents if we pushed it back. Public Works also asked that you give them a couple of weeks trial run before we change the signs, just to make sure that they could get the route completed in that amount of time. So maybe the first 2 weeks in April when this start, we still do 8 a.m., and then we move to 8:30.
Yeah, I would recommend that you do it even longer than that before you change the signs. It's not absolutely necessary that you change the signs.
Right.
Because it's really not. You just won't enforce the signs for the first half hour.
Yeah, right.
Are they going to be done by 11?
On those, we have streets that we do in the morning and streets that we do in the afternoon. So we probably, if we're changing it, it'll probably be from 8:30 to noon is what the new signs will say, instead of 8 to 11 or 11:30.
Doesn't that affect the afternoon as well, because they won't be able to start on those until later?
It might push it back a half an hour, but those signs, the afternoon signs have a 4-hour no parking window, where the morning signs only have a 3-hour no parking window. So I think that we will be okay if we just change the ones in the morning. And the afternoon signs, I believe, say 11 to 3. Anyway.
Well, thank you for checking that out. Give it a try.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot and see. I think that'll work.
As long as it's coordinated with the, you know, when we're going to try it, that we coordinate it with the police officers. I'm sure residents who don't get a ticket aren't going to complain.
Right. And I believe that's all I have. Oh, I checked on cell phone reimbursement standards, and it looks like ICMA suggests $40 a month, so it looks like the realm that we were discussing at the budget meeting is on par. John Antolovich, who's our public works supervisor, carries a separate phone, so he has his personal phone and carries a separate work phone, and he would also be interested in switching to the one phone and getting the reimbursement. So it would be for three individuals in the 2015 budget. I believe that's all the follow-up I had from Saturday. Am I missing?
All right, thank you. New business. Welcome, Mayor Cook.
Sorry for the
Mayor pardon. Cook, would you like to
give the police report? Do you have anything to say?
I have nothing to say. Having just gotten here, I did not have a chance to review it, but I assume everything is similar to in the past, and if not, I'll next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
But is this the appropriate time to lift the parking ban over Thanksgiving?
Sure.
All right. I do not have glasses, nor do I have the calendar in front of me. I'd like to lift the parking ban over Thanksgiving, and that will be November
26th, just the Wednesday before.
Okay. And through Monday?
First.
So ticketing will begin again Monday evening. So the 26th through December 1st.
Anything else?
Any
business? Any new business?
Madam President?
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Wainwright.
What is the timeline? When do we have to make a decision regarding the land bank, tripod land bank proposal?
We are in a holding pattern until the school district decides what they're doing. If the school district won't waive their back taxes, there's no reason. It does Edgewood no good to join the land bank.
You can read what's going to happen right now, because Gateway has taken it up a lot sooner than Woodland Hills. And the discussions which I thought were going to happen are happening right now. It's pretty significant. It's like 5 point. It's pretty significant what they would have to pay for that 5%.
Gateway is trying to get school districts to pay less than the 5% of delinquent real estate taxes that was proposed for all taxing bodies. They believe that municipalities should pay 5 and school districts should pay something less than 5. So they are, Woodland Hills, that's currently where they're fighting.
Woodland Hills did take it up at their last meeting, and the last that I had seen, it was considered illegal according to their interpretation. So. Yeah, this may be a while.
All right, so,
and that's exactly why we don't.
Not imminent is basically.
So the only new business I would bring up is, so we had talked about it after paving the streets, and that it does seem to promote a little faster travel in the neighborhood. And I had questioned the process of putting a stop sign. The only one that I know of is in my neighborhood, which is at the bottom of the shared driveway between Hawthorne and Beach. So is that something that I need to present to public safety? Or how does a stop sign get affected in this city?
If a resident has a request for a stop sign, it goes to the chief of police, who, if he is willing, conducts a safety study of the area, and then makes a recommendation as to whether he believes there should or should not be a stop sign.
So the only reason I bring this up with that particular point is that it's a private driveway, I believe, and until last year, they were sharing a somewhat commercial quality plow service and sharing the expense of that. Well, that stopped. And so twice last year, I saw a car careen, you know, not able to stop, coming down the hill. It's sort of why they don't have stop
signs. Going down Maple to stopping at Hawthorne?
If you're between Beach and Maple, there is a driveway that has four houses that go up behind in mid-block, and it comes down the hill. So, and it wouldn't be a problem and if, for one, they could stop and not slide out into Maple, which I saw a couple of times. And there was an accident related to one of those. And the other one I saw, because I'm reading the paper and I just happened to see it. And then the other is that that's the longest stretch of Maple. And since my house is directly across the street from that, I will test that cars can get going at an incredible speed between those two blocks. So I just think that if it's possible, that it makes sense to put another stop sign at that point in Maple to try to slow the traffic up, or at least from a safety issue, not allow those cars.
So I might just be being dense here. Is the shared driveway not being plowed or shoveled? And so then it's cars coming down from the shared driveway that are having trouble stopping.
Correct.
Not cars on.
No.
Okay.
No. So.
Also, I walk my dogs that every morning, and people go very fast, exceptionally fast, in the early morning.
There's a speed limit that is posted for Maple Avenue, and if people aren't following the speed limit, then perhaps the police ought to sit in that driveway or do something and check to see what speeds people are going. So that would be my first recommendation, Mayor Cook, is to ask the chief to have police around Maple Avenue somewhere, either on foot, timing cars or doing whatever you have to do to get a handle on that kind of a speeding problem, which is what the chief would do anyway for a.
I'm guessing that the lines that used to be on there for Vasco are no longer there, too.
They were recently, they're put there every year, every 18 months or so. I've never seen them. I've offered my driveway for them to sit in. It's a ubiquitous problem. My kids catch the bus across the street, and I have sat there with them for many minutes, not able to cross the street, or at least think that I can cross the street safely. And obviously the alternative is to go down to Hawthorne at the stop sign or go up to Beach to the stop sign, but the bus stop is right across the street. And they have become very good traffic patrollers and teaching people or telling people to slow down. But it's incredible how fast cars go there. Well, the problem with those street marked sign speed limits is they're not accurate because they're marked 15 outside of a school zone. So you can't enforce an illegal speed limit.
Well, council, we authorized that.
We authorized it. We changed it.
No signs. You just took down the 15. About a year ago.
Wait a minute. But there's still one up at the top.
There's still one within the school zone.
There's one. There's one just down a little bit from Dobie. There's still a 15.
There is one. Yeah, further up.
Okay. I thought so.
But there is no 15 mile an hour zone outside of the school zone. It's 20. 25.
That's correct. It's state law.
Right. It's not challenged.
But how do you enforce it when it's not marked correctly?
I don't know if the solicitor wants to address it, but I can tell you how it's done on private property when the officers...
Well, I'm just wondering whether it's even enforced. Because
if you're saying that people are speeding, then they're clearly going faster than the 25 mile an hour.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that's what we need to check. So we'll ask the police to do spot checks, morning, afternoon, various days, not just one shot at it, and to see about the problem, and then.
I'm just wondering about enforcement when it's marked at a lower speed limit.
Still write people up for not obeying posted signs.
And I think you could still enforce 25, because that residential statewide has to be 25. So we could still enforce it under the state.
Well, I think one consideration on the 15 mile signs was that they people were hoping they would only go 25, because they were going 50 before.
Yeah.
They're going 50 now.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll have it checked out and duly noted, Dr. Wallace. Any other new business? I had asked at the budget workshop for folks to look at another date where we could have a meeting, and thought that the last Monday in November would meet to hopefully nail a budget so that we could advertise and get a budget passed by our last meeting in December. So I'm seeing my head's shaking that the last Monday in November is reasonable. And what time should we begin?
Open any time, and so I didn't send it out. It's not 100%, but 95% sure that I can switch out of that day. So anytime after 5 is good. It's a Monday, correct?
It's a Monday, it's right. So
the 25 won't be here. On the 24th.
22nd, I think it is.
It's the 24th.
That's the 24th.
Mm-hmm. This is for November, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I will not be here.
So it has to be that week because our meeting's on the 1st.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to be here the whole week. So.
The whole week. All right. Well, we'll keep the 24th in, and you can phone it in. And why don't we start at 6:30? And hopefully 6:30 to 9. We're like we were before. We'll be out before 9 o'clock, but if you just kind of slate that in.
That's cool.
Resolution 2014-23, Civil Service Appointment, Mr. Fuller.
Borough of Edgewood, Resolution 2014-23. Whereas the Borough of Edgewood has a Civil Service Commission, and whereas it is the desire of the Borough Council to maintain a degree of continuity and experience on the Civil Service Commission, and whereas Arlene Neff has exhibited the knowledge and ability to make positive contributions to the Civil Service Commission, now therefore be it resolved that the Edgewood Borough Council will hereby appoint Arlene Neff to the Civil Service Commission for a term which will expire November 18th, 2020. Adopted this 17th day of November 2014 at the meeting of the Council of the Borough of Edgewood.
Second.
This is a six-year renewal. Ms. Neff has been on the commission and has done good work. Is there any other questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Then Resolution 2014-23 passes. Resolution 2014-24, fee schedule, Mr. Wainwright.
Resolution of the Borough of Edgewood and the County of Allegheny, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, establishing the schedule of certain fees associated with borough services, permits, and licenses effective November 17, 2014. Whereas the various ordinances and codes of the Borough of Edgewood require that fees be established from time to time by the Edgewood Borough Council for services, permits, and licenses. And whereas such fees shall be set at a rate at which the administrative costs of providing such services and permits and licenses are paid through the assessment of such fees, now therefore be it resolved by the Council of the Borough of Edgewood, Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, in meeting assembled, and it is hereby resolved by the authority of the same that the following schedule of fees are hereby adopted. Administrative fees, sanitary sewer certificate, $25. Municipal lien letter, $30. Occupancy permit residential, $45. Occupancy permit commercial, $75. On-street dumpster POD permit, $50. Liquor license application, $500. NSF check, $35. Copy fees, 25 cents per page. Sidewalk cafe permit, $100. Building fees, residential new construction, $40 plus 17 cents per square foot of gross floor area. Residential additions, $40 plus 17 cents per square foot of gross floor area. Residential alteration and repairs, 1.25% of construction cost, minimum fee $40. Residential utility and miscellaneous, 1.5% of construction costs, minimum fee $40. Construction, new construction, $60 plus 25 cents per square foot of gross floor area. Commercial additions, $60 plus 25 cents per square foot of gross floor area. Commercial alteration, 2.5% of construction cost, minimum fee $60. Residential demolition, $125. Commercial demolition, $225. Signs, $25 plus $2 per square foot of sign area, minimum fee $40. Construction and zoning fees, sanitary sewer tap, $200 per unit. Street opening, $175 plus $1 per square foot. Zoning hearing board appeal or other proceeding, $400. Zoning ordinance, actual cost. Subdivision, actual cost. Zoning and other maps, actual cost. Parking fees. Residential on street, 3 to 5 a.m., $20 per year until June 30th, $10 per year after June 30th. Borough lot, $60 per year. Visitor, $20 per year until June 30th, $10 per year after June 30th. Commercial vehicle, $150 per year. Recreational vehicle, $240 per year. Peddler's permit fees, per day, $25 per person. Per week, $100 per person. Police fees and fines. Police reports, $20. Fingerprints, resident, $15. Non-resident, $30. Records check, $15. Borough parking tickets, $10 within 72 hours. $20 after 72 hours. Fire, burglar, false alarms. First occurrence, no charge. Second occurrence, $30. Third through seventh occurrence, $50. Eighth or higher occurrence, $100. Mechanical fees, first 1,000 of installation costs or fraction thereof, $40. Each additional $1,000 or fraction thereof, $10. Minimum fee, $40. Newsletter, Edgewood newsletter, is that 2015 prices? 2014-2015 advertising prices as per schedule. Miscellaneous fees, mulcher wood chips, $40 per delivered truckload, $25 pickup truck delivered. Amusement device license, $125. Recycling bin, $20. Video production. Movie fee commercial, $500. Any resolution or any part of any resolution in conflict with the provisions of this resolution is hereby repealed to the extent of such conflict resulted and enacted the 17th day of November 2014.
Questions or comments?
Should the... where there is a reduced fee after June 30th, should it read per remainder of the year instead of per year? Per remainder of the calendar year?
Yes.
Someone will say $10 per remainder of calendar year.
How about $10?
Balance of calendar
year. Yeah, for balance of calendar year, yeah. No per necessary.
And the only other thing is, if we actually do fingerprinting, does it cost us more than that currently, considering our equipment?
It does not. I don't believe the police department has been doing fingerprinting.
Sounds like we don't lose money if we have to do it.
So we're making a word change. For clarity, not for content. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone pass? And resolution 2014-24 passes. Motion to accept Joseph Miller's letter of resignation, Mr. Fuller.
I move to accept the letter of resignation of Police Officer Joe Miller, effective November 28th, 2014.
Second.
Questions or comments?
He's been well liked on the force. He's done a good job for us. We've been real pleased with him. We regret to see him go, but his offer was good for his career, and we wish him well.
He's been offered a full-time position in Hagerstown.
Hagerstown.
Mm-hmm. Which is his
hometown. Well, good for him. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, then motion approved. At this time, we'll go into executive session for potential litigation update. There will not be action following. Our next meeting will be November 24th as a budget workshop continuance. And the next council meeting is December 1st.